and it will not go well. It will not go well. Acts chapter 27, starting verse 1. When it was decided that we would sail for Italy, they proceeded to deliver Paul and some other prisoners to a centurion of the Augustan cohort named Julius. Now, once again, Luke is with them. This is the section that all the pronouns are we. We did this, and we did this, and our ship, and our that. So this was a point that Luke is once again traveling with Paul. He could have picked a better occasion, but this is when he's traveling with Paul. So they had to sail for Italy. Usually it wasn't a big deal, but the season was not all that great. Remember, it was Shavuot, or Pentecost, when all these things were taking place, and it took time to arrange for ship. And the Mediterranean, once you got to the end of September, traveling was not recommended because the weather started to change. Verse 2. And embarking in an Adramyttian ship, which was about to sail to the regions along the coast of Asia, we put out to sea accompanied by Aristarchus, Macedonian of Thessalonica. The next day we put in at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul with consideration and allowed him to go to his friends and receive care. Those are the believers who were in Sidon. From there we put out to sea and sailed under the shelter of Cyprus because the winds were contrary. Okay, so these are sailing ships. So if the wind was blowing where you wanted to go, you're stuck. You could tack before the wind to a certain extent, but you couldn't go directly opposite the wind. It just would not work. It wouldn't work. We had sailed through the sea along the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia. We landed at Myra in Lycia. Now the ship they had been on was a coastal ship. It was not suitable for making the trip across the Mediterranean to get to Rome. So they needed to find another ship. There the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing for Italy, and he put us aboard it. It was a big, honking grain ship. It could hold 270 people, along with a huge shipment of grain. It was a big ship, suitable for going out onto the Mediterranean. Give me a minute. When we had sailed slowly for a good many days, and with difficulty had arrived off Cnidus, since the wind did not permit us to go farther, we sailed under the shelter of Crete, off Salamone. So they started off in the eastern Mediterranean. They started going along the coast. Well, Italy is over here. Near to Rome, they had to leave the shelter of the coast, go out into the Mediterranean Sea. Well, Crete was over here. So they were in the shelter of Crete, and they had a problem. They had to leave Crete, and they had to get over to Italy somehow. Verse 8. Now, with difficulty, sailing past it, there was difficulty because the winds were contrary. We came to a place called Fair Havens, near which was the city of Lazaea. When considerable time had passed and the voyage was now dangerous, since even the fast was already over, Paul began to admonish them. The fast was Yom Kippur. So now into late September and early October, when it was dangerous to sail in the Mediterranean. And Paul said to them, "Men, I perceive that the voyage will certainly be with damage and great loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives." In other words, don't go. Don't go, you'll die. The ship will perish and you'll die. Verse 11. But the centurion was more persuaded by the pilot and the captain of the ship than by what was being said by Paul. They were seamen after all. They knew the waters. Verse 12, because the harbor was not suitable for wintering. The majority reached a decision to put out to sea from there. If somehow they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, facing southwest and northwest, and spend the winter there. In other words, the harbor they were in, Fair Havens, was open at two ends. Not a good place to winter. When a moderate south wind came up, supposing that they had attained their purpose, they weighed anchor and began sailing along Crete, close inshore. So the winds that had been blowing had been from the northwest, which is where they wanted to go. So it was right in their, you know, it was a headwind. They couldn't sail against that. So now they got a south wind, and they could sail with that. So with the south wind, they could make it over to Rome. But before very long, there rushed down from the land a violent wind called the Euroquilo. It's funny because the name translated almost exactly nor'easter. So just like, even though it was a different climate, a different place, it's the same sort of deal. They had a sudden nor'easter come, this huge storm came upon them. When the ship was caught in it and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and let ourselves be driven along. In other words, there was no way to steer. There was no way to put the ship in control. Just face away from the wind and let it drive them along.
Did they take the sails down?
Hard to say at that point. Later on, I think it says that they didn't even have time to take the sails down. Verse 16, running under the shelter of a small island called Clauda, we were scarcely able to get the ship's boat under control. After they had hoisted it up, they used supporting cables in undergirding the ship, and fearing that they might run aground on the shallows of Syrtis, they let down the sea anchor and this way let themselves be driven along. So they were afraid they were going to run aground, so they couldn't stay there in the shelter of that island. Next day, we were being violently storm-tossed. They began to jettison the cargo. You know it's bad when they start throwing the cargo into the sea. And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. So anything that wasn't nailed down went overboard. They were trying to lighten the ship so it handled better. Since neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small storm was assailing us, from then on all hope of our being saved was gradually abandoned. The situation was hopeless. The storm had them. And since they were a sailing ship, it wasn't like nowadays where you could drive out of the storm. They had to go where the wind blew. So they were stuck in the storm, stuck like fly to fly paper. When they had gone a long time without food, and Paul stood up in their midst and said, "Men, you ought to have followed my advice and not to have sailed from Crete and incurred this damage and loss. Yet now I urge you to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship." And that's a change. That's a change from what Paul said originally. Well, why did he change? Verse 23. "For this very night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me." So Paul was God's own possession. So God had Paul in his care. And Paul served him faithfully. So this wasn't a case of Jonah running away from God. But Paul was serving God. Verse 24, saying, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you." In other words, nobody was going to perish. "Therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. But we must run aground on a certain island." When the 14th night came, so 2 weeks, they're on this boat. As we were being driven about in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors began to surmise that they were approaching some land. They took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. That's 120 feet. And a little further on, they took another sounding and found it to be 15 fathoms. That's about 100 feet. Fearing that we might run aground somewhere on the rocks, they cast four anchors from the stern and wished for daybreak. But as the sailors were trying to escape from the ship, let down the ship's boat into the sea on the pretense of intending to lay out anchors from the bow. In other words, the sailors are abandoning ship. Paul said to the centurion, to the soldiers, lest these men remain in the ship, you yourselves cannot be saved. The soldiers cut away the ropes of the ship's boat and let it fall away. Till the day was about to dawn, Paul was encouraging them all to take some food, saying, today is the 14th day that you have been constantly watching and going without eating, having taken nothing. Therefore, I encourage you to take some food, for this is for your preservation, for not a hair from the head of any of you will perish. Having said this, he took bread and gave thanks to God. He gave thanks to God in the presence of all, and broke and began to eat. All of them were encouraged. They themselves also took food. All of us in the ship were 276 persons. It was a big ship. When they had eaten enough, they began to lighten the ship by throwing out the wheat into the sea. When day came, they could not recognize the land, but they did observe a bay with a beach. They resolved to drive the ship onto it if they could. Casting off anchors, they left them in the sea, while at the same time they were loosening the ropes of the rudders and hoisting the foresail to the wind, they were heading for the beach. So they were able to take the sails down, so now they hoisted the foresail, which is a little sail in the front, trying to let the wind take them on the beach. But striking a reef where two seas met, they ran the vessel aground, so they never made it to the beach. And the prow stuck fast and remained immovable, but the stern began to be broken up by the force of the waves. The soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners so that none of them would swim away and escape, because they had to unchain them in order for them to swim. But the centurion, wanting to bring Paul safely through, kept them from their intention and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land, and the rest should follow, some on planks and others on various things from the ship. So it happened that they all were brought safely to land. So God accomplished his plan for Paul. God saved the rest of the people on the ship. God's mercy was apparent. Sometimes people who aren't believers, just by association with those who are, gain that blessing, whether it be a country. After all, we had Abraham's discussion with God in Genesis about Sodom and Gomorrah, that if even 10 righteous men were in the city, that God would have preserved it. We have other instances where, just by being associated with believers, that people get the blessings. Sometimes it happens with us, the jobs we work, the neighborhoods we live in, sometimes even the households where we live, our families are all blessed because we're believers. Sometimes people get that additional blessing. But God's primary concern is for us. His eye is never off of us. He's always watching us. He's always taking care of us. And he's always about fulfilling his plan for us, no matter what kind of difficulty he takes us through. That is closing prayer. Dearest God and Father, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your care. And I thank you for the way in which you took Paul through this terrible shipwreck, and not only him, but everyone with him. May we be a great blessing, those around us, but also a great testimony. And that we also might be able to say that we faithfully serve you in everything, no matter what seems to be going on around us, for the glory of our Messiah, Yeshua. Amen.